So it's Romans chapter 13, verse 1 to 7. And just to remind you, as you get your Bible open, that from chapter 12 onwards, the apostle is teaching us how do we actually put into practice this new life that we have once we have understood the gospel, once we have not only understood it, but we've responded to it, we have become born again, we have given our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. He lives in us. His righteousness is in us. How then do we relate to God? How do we relate to ourselves? How do we relate to one another in the family of God? How do we relate to our enemies? And today it's how do we relate to the civic society around us? Let every person, be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God. And those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed. And those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection. One must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them. Taxes to whom taxes are owed. Revenue to whom revenue is owed. Respect to whom respect is owed. Honor to whom honor is owed. So I wonder what we do think of Angela Merkel or whatever other government. I still read the British newspaper. The British government is being slammed every day by the press, especially at the moment. How terrible is their working out of how to do Brexit? Because it's almost impossible to know how to do it, for anybody to do it. Every day our governments are under this kind of criticism. They don't seem to be fulfilling their promises. They're too slow at delivering what they're supposed to do, and so on. And so these words are important for us if we're to be responsible citizens. This is about these words are not about party politics, as Birgit has said as well. It's not about what kind of political system there is, because there are different kinds of political systems in history and in the world today. This is about how, as an individual Christian, we should relate to whichever political system is in place, wherever we may find ourselves to be. And therefore, this passage is a very central passage to a healthy, mature Christian worldview. That's why it's so important. And we've come to this place just working through Romans, and we need to understand it and practice it. And in some ways, at first glance, it might seem quite a shocking passage. Because Paul, remember, who is writing these words? The Apostle Paul, who was at the time of the Roman government, who also had these underlings, these Jewish kings who were able to rule and give an authority to rule in Judea and so on. These were not days where without terrible things going on through governments, lots of persecution and so on. Paul himself would be imprisoned by the government that he's talking about serving. And he would ultimately be sentenced to death by the government that he was under. And yet he says, the one particular thing, if we look at the next slide, the main thing that we are to do is to submit. And that's the shocking bit, maybe. Every Christian, verse 1, is to submit to the authority of the civil government, to obey the state. I mean, it was amazing how much evil the authorities in those days could get away with. You think of the time of the birth of Jesus, how the Romans gave authority to Herod, and he was able to kill baby boys in Bethlehem under the age of two and get away with it. Nobody was able to stop him doing such terrible things. And yet, at the same time, the New Testament says repeatedly, this is the way we are to view the authorities. So we also read, for example, in 1 Peter 2, verse 13. Be subject, for the Lord's sake, to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme, or to governors as sent by him, like Herod, to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. Really? That's what it says. Honor the emperor. That's what Peter, one of Jesus' closest friends, wrote. Indeed, there are several biblical examples, aren't there, of believers submitting to and supporting civil authorities who actually, in many ways, disobeyed God's word and often practiced bad things or punished good things. Think of Joseph. In the Old Testament, the Egyptian regime was not a godly one in many ways, and yet Joseph was serving as prime minister in that regime. Or Jeremiah counseled Judah at one point to surrender to a cruel pagan Babylonian civil power. But that's the way the Lord called the prophet to encourage and speak to the people. Because no government is perfect. And so this principle is teaching us that even if a government seems stupid or supports behavior that disobeys God, the basic principle is Christians are not to undermine it and not to show disrespect for it. And we need to ask, well, why? Because the obvious question which we will come to is, what about bad governments? What about the terrible things that governments do actually get away with or try to get away with? We'll come to that in a minute, but let's get these first reasons sorted out first. So the next slide is the reasons why we should submit. And Arun wasn't sure we should use this picture because it looks like giving honor to a pagan government. But I think it's very appropriate because of what Paul's situation was. He is teaching us to submit to such a government as that. The reasons to submit, first of all, government is God's idea. The idea of civil government is a gift from God. That's what Paul's saying. And therefore, it deserves our respect just because it's God's idea. Daniel says, God rules over all human governments and gives them to whom all he pleases, whoever he pleases. God overrules whoever is in government. And then, therefore, here it says it is right to submit to the authorities. I don't know about you, but when I'm driving a car, like yesterday, actually, I was giving a lift to Nicola and some others, and the way I had come out of a particular, we were coming out of the wedding reception, and I had a strange angle, and so my car was kind of sat like this in the street. And then I noticed that the car that was behind me was a police car. Now, I hadn't done anything wrong, but I have to say that something in me said, I better make sure I'm not doing anything wrong. Why did I think that? Because I saw the authority. And I thought, ooh, now I want to make sure I don't have to pay a fine, I don't get into trouble, I don't go to the law court, so I will obey the rules. There's a respect there. And that leads to the second thing, that the reasons that we should submit is because we need to have order. And God wants every society to have order. So God has instituted. Yesterday, we were focusing on the institution of marriage, God's idea for how families should be, men and women living together in harmony for the rest of their lives. This is what God has planned for our welfare and well-being, and we will celebrate that again in the coming week very wonderfully. This is the other main institution that we have from God, everywhere, all over the world, there needs to be civil order. So God gives government. And so in that sense, it's wise to submit, because God has designed human society in this way. Verses 3 and 4, therefore, sorry, I must get these new glasses. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good. If you just make sure you don't disobey the policeman, then you'll be fine. It makes sense. It fits together. Opposite, of course, when there is the absence of government, and sometimes in history we've seen that. I understand, I think immediately after the Second World War here in Germany, there was something of an anarchy, and it was a very hard time for the German people because there was a lack of government until new government was put into place. When there's a lawlessness and a disorder, it always produces terror and a curse. It's a curse, basically. So God gifts governments to all society, all over the world, in every age. And we saw in Romans chapter 2 that whether people are Christians or not, God has put into every human being a basic conscience, a basic sense of right and wrong in every human heart. So God has also put that into the institution of government for the welfare of society. He's given government for, and has given government responsibility. Governments have responsibility to protect us from evil, to lock up those and punish those who do wrong, and to correct them and to bring restitution to them. And some people really question the prison system because they wonder whether it actually does any good that way. Is that the best way to bring that about? And so also to promote the good and the welfare and the well-being of society. And so as Christians, we have to respect this. We have to respect the idea of it that God has instituted and also the particular group that he's put in power at the time. Verse 4, a ruler does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant to bring punishment. And so the word sword meaning the right to use force and if necessary arms to ensure the civil order. So terrorists, murderers, thieves, liars, fraudsters are all causes of disorder. God gives the state authority to punish wrongdoing so as to improve this order. Verse 4 also says the state is God's servant for your good. Actually, more literally, for the good, not just your good, but the good of the whole. In other words, it's the state's job to punish wrongdoing, but also to develop, I've said this, to develop good culture and right behavior and relationships that promotes the general economic, social, cultural, physical well-being, and so on. And the last little bit on this reasons is, actually, these people work hard, the ones who are sincere. We've just heard about how much Birgit has worked in her life in many different ways, and now she's working hard in this calling that God has given. And so Paul's actually saying, those people who work in government, that you should pay tax. This work, the taxes need to be paid for this order of society to work. It's in a sense a just due. Your tax is just. Make sure you pay your tax. It's a biblical principle of submission and respect to God who has put this government in place. Then, though, let's go on to the next question, the next subject, which I'm calling this submission is not absolutely always 100% because we have to bring our conscience in as well. The big question, as I say, for believers is, does there ever come a point, and if so, where is that point, when a government is no longer worthy of our respect and therefore our obedience? I suppose a classic example in the Bible of this is Daniel and his friends Meshach and Shadrach and Abednego. They were actually employees. They were civil servants in a government in a foreign land, in a government that wasn't a godly government in many ways, but they had no problem serving it there. That was their assignment. And it was God was using them as an influence there, big influence there. They also, of course, got to a point where they had to say, at this point, we cannot obey. And that point was when the government, in their case, required them to worship the government as God, and not to pray to the God that was the real God. This they could not do. And so, of course, they ended up being in the lion's den, but still with an attitude of higher respect and trust in the one who really is the government of governments, the ruler, the Lord of all. Or think back to the Exodus story at the beginning, when Pharaoh commanded the Hebrew midwives to kill all the baby boys, the Jewish boys being born. They did not do it. They refused to do it. In that case, they thought, no, our devotion, our loyalty, our worship of our Lord God is higher than our duty to submit to this government. At that point, they should refuse to do it. I suppose other obvious examples from the history of this country recently, how I hear of wonderful, amazing stories of many German and other European believers who hid Jewish people during the time of the Holocaust and protected them. And many of those people also ended up suffering and dying themselves because they got caught. But they were disobeying the government in that point, because they came to this point where the government was commanding them to do something that was actually going too far, because it was disobeying too much the Lord. I heard of a man who somehow managed to avoid doing the Heil Hitler salute and got away with it. Although, of course, actually Bonhoeffer did do the Heil Hitler salute in order to double bluff so that they wouldn't catch him, because he actually was fundamentally going against the Nazi government because of the evils of it. But that's another story. Anyway, the point of this is saying our conscience is important. The king who's really our king is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one we really serve. So as we are following his commandment to submit to the state, we need to evaluate the state. We need to check the principles. There's a real example of this going on right now for Christians. We were just talking about it before the service. Andrew's just come back from his home country of the U.S., and Christians and others there are, as you may have noticed on the news, are deeply disturbed right now by the U.S. government's current policy on immigration on its southern border. Have you heard about this? In a matter of weeks, what they have been deciding to do there has caused the separation of thousands of children from their parents. Of course, a nation needs its borders. But to cause such social trauma, such social distress, can this be the right thing to do? This is the argument. And the debate for Christians in particular heated up 10 days ago after a speech in Indiana by Jeff Sessions, who's the Attorney General, and he said, quote, individuals who break the law need to be aware of the consequences of being separated from their children. But then he went on to defend the policy by saying this as a justification for it, quote, I would cite to you the Apostle Paul and his clear and wise command in Romans 13 to obey the laws because of the government, because God has ordained the government for his purposes. Orderly and lawful processes are good in themselves. Consistent and fair application of the law is in itself a good and moral thing and protects the weak and protects the lawful. Well, Paul did say that, but this guy, now the Christians and others in the media are debating, what do we do with this? Because is it true? Is it not true? And Albert Mohler, who's a Southern Baptist professor and great leader in the Christian world in the States, helpfully comments on this and points out that there's some truth in what the Attorney General is saying, but actually to say, he seems to imply that to say every law of every government is necessarily right and should be defended in such terms cannot be true. And we have to be using our conscience, we have to be checking. We must respect government, we must respect its rightful responsibility, but if the law is unjust, if the law is unrighteous, then the Christians have to protest against it. We must speak out. We must act against it. This is responsibility, isn't it? Christians are not just coming to church on Sunday and singing nice songs. We are called to be salt and light in the society in which we live. Let's go on then to number three, respectful submission. Trusting in God and his appointments. Respect, verse 7, respect to those to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. I have to say, I was encouraged when I first came to Germany by the respect that I see in certain ways which I do not see anymore in the UK. You go into the doctor's surgery where you don't know anybody and you sit down and somebody else comes in and they say, "Guten Tag." You don't get that in England anymore. It's respect. When I've traveled in Italy on the trains, and they have a good train system down there, one of the best things Mussolini did for that country, I was really struck by this, that young adults, teenagers, would get on the train on their own and they'd come and sit in the same carriage and they would say a very polite, in Italian, I can't remember what it is, but bon dia, whatever, good day, hello. I was quite surprised because in my country I would be ignored. Last time I was in Italy, I noticed I was on a train and I was not sure where I was going and I was looking out at each station to check my directions. And this young man came over and said, "Can I help you?" He's showing respect. It's good that there is this respect in society. Often we've lost something of that respect. When I was preparing this, I also thought, whether I should tell you this, I don't know, but many years ago, maybe 30 years ago, I had a Ford Capri car. I love my cars. Nice, fast car. I was driving at night to visit my parents in Scotland. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning when I got to Edinburgh, and I was tired, and I wanted to get home, and I needed to cross the Forth River, which means going across the Forth Bridge. And as I came to the motorway turning to go onto it, the road was closed. Diversion. And I realized this diversion would add on about 40 minutes to my journey. So I wasn't happy. As I sped off as fast as I could down the diversion, I saw that in the central reservation there was a space. And I thought, if I go through there, I can get onto the other direction and get onto the bridge and get quicker. And so I confess, I did this. I went across the central reservation, speeding on down. Then as I was speeding on down, I saw some lights flashing on the autobahn, on the motorway. Further down, I thought, whoops. And I slowed up, and there in the distance was a lot of flashing, and there was a policeman. Suddenly I saw him in the darkness, shadows with his car, and he was standing on the road, and he saw me coming, like this. He waved me down. This is 2:30 now in the morning, and I wound down the window, and he said to me, "What the bleep, 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 bleep are you doing here? Are you doing here?" In his Scottish accent. He was extremely angry, this policeman. And he said, "People are dead along there. What are you doing here? It says road closed." How did I react? I just was very, very polite. And I said, "I'm so sorry. I thought it might be all right to do this, but obviously it's not." And I can't think what I said, but I was very, very respectful and very, very polite to him. And I got away with it. They didn't do anything more. I was expecting some kind of massive challenge and fine or points on my license or something. But somehow by being polite, I got away with it. Maybe that's not the best story, but let's move on to the last. The point is, within this mix, there's a strong teaching here of respectful submission. We're not submitting to everything, but we should have respect. And we need to work on that. And then lastly, participative submission. Each of us is called to pay our taxes. Each of us is called to pay what we owe. Pay what you owe. It's no accident, I think, that God has led us as the body of Christ in Bremen to be having our new worship service in the marketplace, but not just in the marketplace. We're in the marketplace. We stand on the steps of the Parliament building. And every week, we pray for the city, and we pray for the Parliament. And that's how I met Birgit this week, because we were there. We were doing it. And this is good. Christians are called to pray, at least. That's the least we can do. And sometimes, like Birgit, Christians are called to serve. It was great to hear your testimony, how the Lord has done this. The Lord has called you. He's opened up the door. He's led you through almost without you doing very much, it sounds to me. And it's a challenging call. Politicians in politics, especially when you have to deal with party stuff, it must be very difficult indeed. And not something I would want to do. It would have to be a very strong call from God. And I find myself also thinking of one of my great British heroes, William Wilberforce, who was one of the evangelical Christians in the early 19th century in my country, through whom God brought wonderful social reform. And a lot of the wonderful, strong social welfare that we now have in the UK was as a direct result of the political work of evangelical, not just Christians, but evangelical Christians. And the main one of that group, there was Elizabeth Fry, who was prison reform. There were others whose names I can't remember. But the most famous one is William Wilberforce, who was a young and very gifted politician. He was a very able speaker. He could very intelligent. He could stand up in the House and be very persuasive. And then he got converted, very, very soundly saved through the gospel. And then he prayed and thought, I think I'm being called to be a pastor. I have to give up politics. That would be the right thing to do, become a preacher of the gospel. But as he wrestled with this, a number of people came and spoke to him, and through that he sensed God speaking to him. You have a gift in this area of politics. Is not God's calling to stay there and make a kingdom difference in that place? And so he took that call. And as you probably know, what he really became burdened about was the terrible evils of the British slave trade, which was doing dreadful things, taking African people to the West Indies and so on. We know the history of that. Thousands and thousands of people's lives messed up, and a whole lot of change in the whole world, movement of peoples, really. And the laws were so set, it was fixed. But Wilberforce sensed this call from God to change that. And he spent 40 years working at it. And in the end, the movement to abolish British slavery in the UK and all our colonies was changed. Wilberforce did not lead a disrespectful rebellion, but he used the parliamentary process to change a law that was bad. Interesting example. That's not for all of us our call, but it is for Birgit. It may be for others. But the point is, to conclude, if we just look at the summary slide, in general, we should be respectfully submissive to the government of the land, because it's God's idea, God's gift. He put it there. He's in control. He's also in control of the time when that government will end. And we often see that in history too, when bad governments come to an end and God puts a better one in place. Also because it's just to pay our tax, to pay what is due. It's the right thing to do. But we do it with conscientious submission. We obey God first. As Birgit reminded us, the words of Jesus are a governing principle. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's. Give to God what is God's. We don't worship Caesar. We respect him. We submit to his laws. But we worship God, not Caesar. But respectful submission. Trusting in the fact that God appoints governments, takes them out. And participative submission. Taking our part, paying our taxes, praying. Hearing the call of God, if he calls us also into parliamentary or social or civil service of some kind, as salt and light and representatives in this world. And so the last slide, I want just to leave this with you as some things to think about, some questions. So what? Is it ever right to cheat on your tax return? Or, Paul, is it ever right to break that speed limit when you're driving your car? Is it of a right to ignore or insult or disobey a policeman? These are small questions, really. Is it right for Christians to get involved in politics? How similar is your attitude towards the authorities to the one that Paul commands? What about our attitudes here? God is wanting to form his godly attitude in us. We're born again now, so we are to have his attitude now. Do you tend to have too high a view or too low a view of the authorities God has established? We respect them, but we don't worship them. Are there any ways in which you are being called courageously to disobey an authority in order to obey God? We must always be prepared to ask that question and answer it as and when the time comes. Let us pray.